It's interesting that a few of our readings today talk about plants, trees. The first reading from the prophet, you know, his prophetic vision on the prophet Ezekiel, he talks about the Lord will plant on the highest mountain. And when they talk about the highest mountain usually in the scriptures, they're talking about mostly after they enter the promised land, they'll talk about after especially King David, they'll talk about Mount Zion, which is by no means the highest one. So the highest means the highest in importance for them, because it represented where they built, or close to Mount Zion, and they built the temple in the time of Solomon, because the temple itself was not built on Mount Zion. But they understood that, and they would plant a cedar. Was the symbol for them of the kingdom or the king, because it was a majestic, it is. You know, if you've ever seen a Lebanon cedar, it is a beautiful, one of the most beautiful trees that you can see, because and very sturdy, very represented. And it says that on that mountain, he will plant that cedar. And it was a time when the people were in exile. They were not living in the land. You know, they were taken away from that place to live in Babylon. Now, Jesus in the gospel also talks about it, but he's talking about a mustard plant, which is no tree. It is a shrub. It grows, but not as to be considered a tree. Yeah. Birds can still have their nest there, but it's not so much as a high or no comparison at all with a cedar. Yet Jesus is saying that, and that is easier to understand, even though it comes from such a small seed, it will become, a plant that birds can come and have their nests, meaning it will be bigger. It is easy to understand that Jesus is talking about the kingdom. And it's interesting about when Jesus talks about the kingdom. Because if we try to understand whom or what were they, the Jewish, the time of Jesus, even before him, whom they were expecting to come and to be the new Messiah, they were expecting a king. They were expecting a descendant of David who would reign over them. They expected someone who would rebuild their nation, which at that time was not independent, was a province of the Roman Empire. Jesus came and he preached the kingdom. Yet what Jesus was preaching was a kingdom much higher than what they expected. They expected a ruler, as they had King David as the greatest model and example for them. They were dreaming and looking at the past. Jesus came and started preaching about the kingdom, looking into the future, present and future, in the sense that say we are to build that kingdom. Not so much. And then here we see how, and we know the passage of the gospel, how Jesus will live his life, how he's going to preach, how he's going to perform his miracles. And they're all so people would understand what kind of kingdom he was talking about. Kingdom, when he says there will be no more place for infirmity, no more for people who were, outside, people who suffered from leprosy, for instance. When he cures them, they can come back to their families because they had to live outside of their towns. because they were considered cursed, besides all the physical illness that they had. And Jesus is bringing them over, is offering forgiveness. And so he is talking about, that's the new thing that Jesus came in to bring, to talk about the kingdom. And he uses many, many images, parables, as we heard in today's gospel from Mark, parables that people would understand. As far as we know, and also drawing from the gospel, Jesus was not a farmer. In the time that he lived with his family in Nazareth, he was working with wood, that's what we know, a carpenter. And we know that because when they come to, he comes to visit, they ask, is not he the son of a carpenter? So that's how we know. And the son usually followed the trade of the father. But he uses the image of, you know, agriculture. And here is one point that I find much hope in today's gospel. When Jesus says, the kingdom of God is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how the seed would do that. I find this passage so encouraging, so full of hope. And why? Because it's saying, you know, the seed represents perhaps the preaching, everything that we can do to make sure that the kingdom of God will become a reality. Yet, we are not the ones who will provide that that kingdom will come about. It is God's doing. As if a farmer, he can put the seed in the ground, but he can make that seed become a plant. No. It's not his doing. His doing is putting it there. All that goes beyond that is God's doing. God, through Jesus, is showing us that we are invited to help in building that kingdom. At the very beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to go and to tell everyone they met that the kingdom of God is here, is in our midst. That's because Jesus was with them. And Jesus came to inaugurate that kingdom, which is not yet complete. It will be in eternity. That's why I said that Jesus is talking about the kingdom from the present into the future. The present, because it has started, because Jesus came. The future, because it will be a reality in the end of times. And the reality means that all the goodness will be there. All the suffering will end. So what must we do? I think here comes our part. Because we can do many things. One of those could say, well, it's God's doing. It's not my business then. So I can just cross my arms and say, let God do his work, and I will not interfere. We might think like that. Yet Jesus, when he came, he's asking us to take an active part, to help that kingdom to become a reality. So all of us, in the small things of life. That's why he says the smallest seed, even though perhaps it will not be the smallest seed on earth, but the seed of a mustard seed is indeed very small. But he says, doesn't matter how big it is. It matters that you're going to throw that seed and scatter it in the ground. So he's asking us to do that. To scatter the seed in the ground means he's asking us to do good deeds. Our actions will help that the kingdom of God will not be just a word, but it will become a concrete reality in our world. So every little action. I remember when I was a child, and my older sisters and my older brother, I have so many of them, we are seven, so sometimes but they were older than, they would go to the young adults meeting in the parish. It's interesting because they would go one time, then they all left the church, and now thank God they all came back. I mean, actively more than before. They never left formally, but they were not active for some time. But they would go and they would have some books that they would read and share. And one book, the title was, I don't know what to translate exactly, but The Value of Small Actions. That's not the title, but the small things, you know, that everything we do can bring goodness, can make our world a better world. You know, there are small things, perhaps a phone call that you give in the morning, and perhaps the person is not expecting, and you say, "So how are you doing today?" And I've heard that answer, "Oh, you made my day. Thank you for calling." Oh, that's nothing to do that. Oh, yes, it has. Small things make a big, huge difference in life. We do have our heroes. People whom we admire. We can talk about the popes. We can talk about Saint Teresa of Calcutta. I mean, they did amazing things. But there are so many out there, and I believe we are included in that, that will be heroes of doing small, apparently insignificant things. So my invitation to you is to think about that. What are the small things that I can help that the kingdom of God will become a reality? What are the small mustard seeds that I carry with me, because God has given gifts to all of us, that I need to throw into the ground, that I need to share, that I need not to hide away, because it will never become a plant if I hide it away? What are those? Am I helping out? The opposite will happen. I can also, with my attitudes, with my choices, or with my omission, I might also make it more difficult for that kingdom to become a reality. Remember Jesus talking to Peter. In one passage of the gospel, Jesus is talking that he's going to Jerusalem, and over there they will imprison him and trial and condemn him. And Peter is saying, no, Lord, I will not allow you to go there. And Jesus says, get away from me. Don't become a stumbling block on my way, Peter. Even the disciples, they could become a stumbling block, meaning they'll make it difficult for that kingdom to become a reality. We live in a world where good deeds are mixed with a lot of evil things out there. We have to ask God's gifts and the Holy Spirit to help us to discern what are good deeds and what are the stumbling blocks for this kingdom of God. And we should, like the prophets did, speak out if something is not doing what perhaps or helping to do or to become what God has intended us. And I want to share just a few words from the bishop's conference, especially a statement, part of a statement from Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, who is the Archbishop of Galveston and the president of the United States Catholic Bishops Conference, concerning what is happening on the border, where children are taken away from their mothers, especially in a separation case. And the idea behind is to protect the border, but not only the church, other organizations, including the United Nations, they have spoken out saying against this action. And I just want to share what Bishop Nardi, in the name of the Bishops' Conference, has said, because I believe those acts are not helping out the kingdom of God to become a reality. They are stumbling blocks for that kingdom to become a reality. And here I quote what Bishop Cardinal DiNardo says. Cardinal DiNardo, joined Bishop Joe Vasquez, chairman of the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops Committee on Migration, in condemning the continued use of family separation at the U.S.-Mexico border as an implementation of the administration's zero-tolerance policy. Our government has the discretion in our laws to ensure that young children are not separated from their parents and exposed to irreparable harm and trauma. Families are the foundational element of our society, and we must be able to stay together. While protecting our border is important, we can and must do better as a government and as a society to find other ways to ensure that safety. Separating babies from their mothers is not the answer and is immoral. May our actions and deeds help out in the building of the kingdom of God here on earth.